This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Bob, we've got to get a picture of us Tebowing before the show.
Ooh.
We'll put that up online.
I mentioned Tebow three times on our show on Tuesday.
I know. And you know, if you mention him one more time, your wife's going to develop the same theory my wife has developed, that I have some kind of crush on him.
Well, an orange crush.
Oh,
New to Denver, they don't know the Orange Crush days of the Broncos.
Yeah.
They just don't remember it.
No, that was quite
something. I seem to recall that, maybe this is Denver mythology, but I seem to recall that Orange Crush sued the Broncos, told them they had to stop using the phrase Orange Crush. Remember the drink?
Yeah, I've heard that, but I don't know if it's a myth or not.
Well, nowadays there's the internet, so you could just find out.
Yeah, you could just find out about the Orange Crush lawsuit or myth.
But anyway, can't wait till the game on Sunday.
Yep.
Against the New England Patriots.
It'll be their biggest test yet, from what I understand, listening to sports
talk. For the Broncos. Yeah. Well, the Patriots are 10-3, is that right?
Yeah. But they've been a bit unstable lately.
And if somehow, beyond comprehension, the Broncos win?
Highly unlikely. I believe they are not favored.
Really?
I believe they are not. The line in Vegas, let's look at the Las Vegas line.
Now, I would not bet against Tim Tebow and the Broncos.
No, I wouldn't.
Right now. But if they were to win, could you imagine the Tebow mania going into Christmas Eve and New Year's Day? Because, Doug, we have games on those 2 days. They're holidays.
Yeah.
Saturday, Christmas Eve is a Saturday. And 1 p.m, there's a Broncos game in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's where you hail from.
My Buffalo Bills, who I've abandoned, by the way.
Well,
I've gotten off the Bills bandwagon. Now, when the Bills were 0-4,
Because you're a Christian.
I was ready to climb on the bandwagon when Tebow was on the bench.
Oh.
But now that Tebow's playing, it's like I say, wherever he goes, when John Elway trades him at the end of this year,
wherever he goes, that's where
I'll go.
I don't think he will. But we'll see.
No.
But
anyway,
my point is,
yes,
Doug,
the point.
If we win Sunday against the Patriots.
And we can say we, because Tim Tebow is part of the same body as we are.
That's right. If the Christians win.
if the Christians
win on Sunday.
All right.
No, let's take that. Let's officially retract that.
Okay, let's officially retract that.
Because God doesn't make teams fumble.
No.
He doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't. But what God does is he can, through the unit, the family unit that God designed, he can create a hedge around a young boy, and that young boy can grow up uncorrupted, unpolluted, loving God, believing in God, staying healthy, avoiding
drugs. You're not kidding. You know, the sports world is very introspective lately, and they're saying, you know, with this Tim Tebow phenomenon, when we look at the hundreds, no, the thousands of fabulous young sportsmen who self-destructed.
Oh, yeah. There's been many.
Drugs and alcohol and violence, crime, gambling, unfaithfulness, cheating on their wives, getting beat up, getting thrown in jail, assaulting their girlfriends, Michael Vick, O.J. Simpson,
and scores of high school and college people that you never heard of because their career self-destructed.
Right. All those, when we look at all that and how really great sports and competition could be if there was not all the destruction that comes with the lie of the devil that there's no such thing as right or wrong, and if it feels good, do it. If our culture honored Jesus Christ the way Christians who are not ashamed of the gospel do, could you imagine the additional happiness and pleasure and joy and fulfillment and success and achievement.
So in that sense, God is involved in the Broncos' success.
Right.
He is involved.
Right.
In that sense.
The way a hard worker who honors God is blessed by the fruits of his labor because God has created a world in which there are cause and effect consequences.
There's blessings built into the system if you follow.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the official Las Vegas line, Patriots -3.
So,
I don't know what that means.
I don't bet. What's the good of information if you don't know what it means? Patriots -3. Maybe
wait a minute. That was last week versus the Eagles. Or I don't know. Okay, this is a dated. How do you not? I put in Vegas line, Broncos versus Patriots. How does Google not understand what I'm talking about? Why do they go to a three-week-old? Anyway, I thought I could Google it up right away. And I'm
Google believes in evolution. You know, there's a website that's completely useless. It's called GoogleReligion.com.
Yeah.
But it's lurking out on the web.
Yeah.
Because the founders of Google have asked the peoples of the world come together in a project to develop a community religion where everyone could give their own ideas.
Oh.
And we could build like a Wikipedia.
That's so nice.
Like a scriptural Wikipedia. This is true.
Really?
Yeah. Sergey Brin.
Yeah.
And so I went ahead and registered GoogleReligion.com for use at a later date.
Oh, you did.
If these very successful but crazy people actually continue down that path.
Brain damage. Okay, Bob, I got the Patriots-Broncos line opened at +6 Denver. Denver is favored to beat the Patriots.
See that? So now if it happens.
And this is Las Vegas. And they're not known for betting on betting on the chances that God will cause a turnover.
No.
They generally don't bet that
way. Hey, Doug, on Bob Benyart Live, our thing here is we attempt to solve problems. We take the biblical insights from God's word. As Christians, understanding the world, economics, history, language, and we try to solve problems. Like, how do you reduce deaths? How do you get rid of tornadoes?
How do you get rid of tornadoes?
Yeah,
that's a pretty big problem.
Change the zoning code and do away with mobile home parks.
I've noticed that always seems to be true.
Right, and then tornado, we'd do away with the age of tornadoes.
The mobile home park.
Actually, I don't know if that would work, but I do have the solution for how to get the Broncos to score in the first half of the game.
Okay. Now, I have a legitimate take on this, but I want to hear yours
first. Well, go. You want to go?
Well, I've just noticed, and I'm sure I'm not the first guy because I'm not a sports analyst guy.
Yeah.
But the Broncos don't seem to get into a scoring mood until they get scored upon, and then they seem to score.
Doug.
Anyway.
Were you reading my notes, my show prep?
No, I've just been watching.
Okay, here's my idea.
Okay.
People are saying change the scoreboard, tell Tebow it's the fourth quarter, he was knocked out in the first play, and he's coming to with smelling salts,
and
we got
that.
7 minutes left, right? So lie to the quarterback, but you're not going to lie to a Christian and get blessed with the results.
No.
So I think the idea is this. The defense... Let's say Champ Bailey goes to Tim Tebow and says, look, we're not going to start playing until you guys start playing. We are not going to keep the opponents to 0 points for three quarters while you guys decide whether or not to put on your game face.
Right,
so here's what we're going to do. The first play, we're going to let the Patriots go right down the field and score. And we are not going to provide any defense until you guys get in the game.
I like it.
And that's the only thought I could come up with.
I like it. You know what I think the truth is? The truth is that Tim Tebow's young, and he's not all that great yet. As his mechanics. And he's not all that great yet. He's young.
Yeah.
And the team isn't really all that great yet.
Right.
But, you know, when the pressure's
on. But they struggled to beat the Miami Dolphins, who are in last place?
Yeah, they were stinking it up pretty bad.
Somewhere there.
And still are. Yeah, they're doing terrible. But, you know, when the pressure's on, there's, I don't know. you can overcome a lot of things with those intangibles that people talk about.
Yeah, and Timmy's
got
encouragement.
Yeah,
right.
And the belief in something greater than yourself is you can accomplish something
right.
greater than just what you can do on your own.
And when people insult you, complimenting them in return, you know, doesn't the Bible say a soft answer turns away wrath?
Amen.
And a few games back when Tebow was sacked and the defenseman Tebowed.
Yeah.
And Tebow said, hey, he's just having a great time. It was a great, good for him. He had a good play.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy said, you know, I wish I hadn't done that.
Well, you know, I think that when you go to the Philippines as a young man and you witness the desperate poverty of those people.
Yeah.
And you work with them with your dad for decades and you see some of those kids grow up and go to college and become successful. Tim Tebow probably believes that winning this whole football game thing, that can't be that hard.
Yeah.
You know, he's done some amazing things.
Right. So if we do win on Sunday, then the Christmas Eve game, which is at 1 p.m, I think.
Yeah.
Is a national broadcast.
Yeah.
The ratings for the NFL for that game.
And it's the Buffalo Bills. It could be the most watched Buffalo Bills game in the history of the NFL.
I mean, the ratings could begin to get into the Super Bowl category.
Yeah, it'll be huge.
And then if we win that, 7 days later is New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And the Broncos play on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
These are holiday games.
That it'll be great. So yeah. It looks like a +6 Denver. I think that means Denver's picked to win by 6, but I'm not really much of a gambling man.
No.
But I think that's what that means.
When I used to bet on the Miami Dolphins back in, I think it was 73, the year they went undefeated.
Yeah.
Because I was a Dolphins fan. I lived on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And about the third game in the season, I bet $1 on the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And they won. And from that point, I bet every game on the Dolphins as an eighth grader.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So my record for betting on sports is about 100%. The next year, the Dolphins play. I remember Jim Kick, Larry Zonka,
yeah.
Bob Greasy, all those guys.
Yeah.
Paul Warfield.
Mm-hmm.
See, I remember those guys.
Sure.
And the coach.
They were role models.
Yeah. So, Doug, the next year, they played the College All-Stars in a preseason game.
Oh, yeah?
I'm the only person in the country who remembers this.
Okay.
And the Miami Dolphins lost.
Get out of here.
They lost.
Really?
And I said, I'm never going to bet again. Because I was so excited to make a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's pretty improbable.
Yeah.
That, amazing.
Now, if that didn't happen, there's the internet now, right? That can be
Googled. Oh, we can check. We can
that
check
can be
you
Googled,
there.
But that is my recollection.
Okay, and you folks out there, you can check my line here, Denver +6. But
yeah.
I'm not betting against Denver this week.
No,
I wouldn't bet against.
I wouldn't.
Them. But you know what? I will bet against
what?
Mitt Romney ever getting the Republican nomination.
Oh well, I pray you're right.
Here's what I think. I think that the Republican Party there's a plurality within the Republican Party who actually have principles. It may not be the majority. But it's a significant minority of
right.
the Republicans.
Especially voting during a primary or a
yeah,
caucus.
Yeah, absolutely. And right. and you can call them Tea Partiers. You can call them the evangelicals. You can call them the right wing.
The pro-life base.
But there's enough. That's probably 30% of the Republican Party has some principles.
Mm.
And Mitt Romney just keeps revealing the fact that he has none.
Mm.
So he cannot win the Republican nomination. And if somehow the powers that be finagle and bamboozle the people into giving him the nomination, he will never motivate the base, and Obama will win. And I think that
well, that's a very good analysis. And if it was Obama versus Mitt Romney,
yeah.
you don't vote for an admitted child killer because you think that your murderer is better than the other guy's murderer.
Right.
You don't do that.
Right. So you start with the issue of life. With Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And you can go right down
it's
the line.
It's disqualifying.
Yeah, that one
if
is
if you advocate killing some kids, like if you advocate it, you said, look, I'm not really an anti-Semite, but I think there are just a few too many Jews in New York City.
Yeah.
So just take out a few.
Yeah. Just take out the ones.
That would be disqualifying.
Yeah, yeah. The ones in Jackson Heights.
But
let's
when it's
just
killing babies, Romney doesn't care, and Sean Hannity doesn't care, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of conservative talking heads that don't care.
Yeah.
Like Dennis Prager and Michael Medved and Hugh Hewitt and so on.
Wait a minute. Is there anyone you missed?
Steve Dace.
Oh, yeah. Steve Dace.
He cares.
Bob Inyart
cares. He's the newest Salem Radio. He could be the Tim Tebow of Salem Radio.
Oh, I would dig seeing that.
Because he could save Salem Radio from its destiny to into oblivion. But anyway.
Not that you have any hopes of being syndicated on Salem, at least not now.
No, I gave that up about 17 years ago.
Well, I heard a quote from Mitt Romney last night on one of the news channels. He was asked by a voter about his stand on homosexual marriage, I believe.
Which he single-handedly instituted in Massachusetts.
Well, I believe he was forced to do that.
By the court. Was it the Goodrich decision?
It was a court decision.
There's a link to the actual decision on prolifeprofiles.com.
Yeah.
And you can read, I read the whole ruling. You could read it in a half hour.
Uh-huh.
The order, you know, at the end of the ruling, the justices in Massachusetts,
right,
for like 16 pages, they write, blah, 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 blah.
And then they finally get to the point at the end.
And then they say, and so ordered, it's like a Charlie Brown Christmas special. Womp, 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 womp.
That's a riot.
And so ordered, and they say that the legislature should reconsider the matter.
Yeah, right. That's right. I believe it was tossed back to the legislature.
And they said, they didn't say you have to do this because that would be overstepping their bounds. They said, so ordered, the legislature should reconsider the matter. And that's it. And Mitt Romney single-handedly ordered the county clerks to issue homosexual marriage licenses.
Yeah. And he's
the friend of Focus on the Family, James Dobson, Tom Minery.
Is there anyone?
National Right to Life, yeah. Concerned Women for America.
Susan B. Anthony List.
Concerned Women for Angola.
Eagle Forum.
Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened, Phyllis? I mean, she showed so much promise early on.
She did.
Now, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I've covered up my quote. Mitt Romney said, I didn't hear the question from the voter, but it had to do with deviant lifestyles. Mm. Perverts. Homosexuals allegedly marrying one another.
Tragic.
It's horrible.
Where people destroy one another.
Yeah.
Jesus said God made them male and female from the beginning of the creation.
Mm-hmm.
So what did Mitt say?
Mitt Romney said, quote, I believe at the time of the Constitution, marriage was understood to be between a man and a woman. And I don't believe the Supreme Court has changed that.
Whoa.
That's an exact quote from Mitt. Now, I wrote it down.
Now, I think I know the most obvious absurdity in that quote. Is the implication that the Supreme Court could make a law and say homosexuals could marry, or parents could marry children, or people could marry animals, or three people could get married,
mm-hmm.
right? Hugh Hewitt, Sean Hannity, and Dennis Prager, they could all get married if the Supreme Court. So Mitt Romney, he believes in judicial activism in such a big way, Doug.
Yeah.
And he tries to push the courts to be judicial activists.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
This implies that he believes the Supreme Court actually has the power to change the definition of marriage.
Yeah. Would you have ever said, as far as I know, marriage is between a man and a woman because the Supreme Court hasn't said otherwise?
It's outrageous. No.
I mean, how could you possibly say that?
I couldn't. Unless someone had a gun to my head and they were going to kill me unless I said it.
Right.
Then I might say it.
Yeah. So
nobody had a gun to Mitt's head. So, he said this out from the bottom of the depths of his black little heart.
Let me give you two examples of where Mitt Romney takes courts and forces them to become activist courts.
Okay.
Right? Now, conservatives supposedly hate activist judges.
Yes. No, that's the...
That's the only reason left to vote for a Republican.
They hate judicial activism.
There's no other reason. What? Because they're not socialists? Because they're against the godless public schools?
Only for their kids, but they're for it generally for everyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So... Here's two examples. In Massachusetts, the courts had said perversely that if the government is going to provide health care, it has to provide abortion for rape and incest and life of the mother.
Okay.
That's what the court said 20 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right for the courts.
Right.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So Mitt Romney passes Romney Care, which he line item vetoes 8 times. I mean, he fine-tunes the thing.
Oh.
And it pays for abortion on demand, late-term, surgical abortion for any reason
$50 copay.
$50 copay if you got the money. Otherwise, Mitt Romney says the taxpayers will pay it all.
That's right.
This is far more than Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama have ever accomplished to promote child killing. This is the government authorizing and paying for it with your tax dollars, even though you know it's murder. And the court said, well, if the government is going to provide health care, they have to cover abortion for rape and incest.
Hmm.
So Romney put all that on steroids.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the courts told us we had to do this. The court said if we provide health care, we have to provide abortion on demand. No, they never said anything like that.
No.
He is a lying, child-killing dog.
Hmm. And that, what you just outlined there, you remember when Romney Care was passed in Massachusetts, there was no national movement to fight Romney Care. There was barely a movement within Massachusetts
right,
to fight.
Because it's a Republican doing it. It's
so,
like George W. Bush doing faith-based initiatives.
Yeah.
And
which is why
electing
Mitt Romney and Newt, I think, is in the same category, is more dangerous than electing Barack Obama again.
Not that you should ever vote for Barack Obama because he's
a child killer. No, no, no.
But when you're trying to decide who's more dangerous for the country,
yeah,
it is so superficial and naive to think that Obama is more dangerous than Mitt Romney.
No.
That is so ignorant and so naive. Jesus warned about the wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's right.
The wolf, who everybody knows is the wolf, is dangerous. The wolf who pretends to be pro-life and pro-family, who advocates homosexual marriage and tax-funded child killing,
mm-hmm.
that is the wolf who can destroy the church.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to destroy the nation. It's another thing for the body of Christ to help to bring about the destruction and destroy the church itself.
So if my choice in November of next year is between Newt Romney or Barack Obama, I will not feel guilty about withholding my vote altogether.
Or voting for Alan Keyes.
Is he running again?
Or Putin.
I'm going to write in Putin. Yeah. Yeah, I think we need a strong leader.
Hey, Doug, we have, if I were at the Republican National Convention,
yeah,
where's it going to be this year? In Havana?
Tampa.
and if somebody stood up at the podium and they said, do you want Barack Obama or Mitt Romney to be your next president? I would shout out, no,
no,
amen,
no, brother. Amen. We might have to go down there and stand in the gap in Tampa, you know?
Yeah, well, the Democrats are going to North Carolina, Flip Benham's backyard, Operation Rescue National.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's inviting the Christians.
Yeah, they're going to get an earful.
In the nation.
Oh, man.
To descend on the DNC.
They have no idea.
They came to Denver. We put the world's largest protest sign on the Rocky Mountains.
That's right. That was great. DNC destroys unborn children.
Yeah, and so now he's going to Flip Benham's backyard.
Ooh, man.
I don't know who does their site selection.
Yeah, whoever's booking them, they need to. They should check with us.
All right. Here is Mitt Romney's second.
Oh, that's right.
Instance.
You had two. As if the first weren't bad enough.
Right. When the court said you have to pay for these exceptions,
yeah.
Mitt Romney said, well, the courts told us we have to pay for abortion on demand, late term, surgical, everything.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's taking the court that actually was trying to restrain itself.
Right.
And putting it on steroids.
Yeah.
He did the same thing with what we already talked about, homosexual marriage. The Massachusetts State Supreme Court, they know because of their history that they don't have the authority to make laws. They know it. They've reiterated that recently.
Right.
So rather than saying in Massachusetts homosexuals could get married, they didn't do that. They restrained themselves, which is, you know, virtually a miracle.
That's unusual. But.
And this is what they ordered. They said, so ordered, the legislature should reconsider the matter. And so Mitt Romney took that and he said, the court ordered me to institute homosexual marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I had no choice.
Yeah.
So he took a restrained court
mm-hmm.
and made it into an activist court on steroids.
Yeah, an activist for the left, for the forces of darkness.
Right. And you know what? Sean Hannity couldn't care less.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Couldn't care less. And neither could Hugh Hewitt. And Dennis Prager and Michael Medved.
Michael Medved.
How about Michael Savage?
Michael Savage
couldn't care less.
No.
Now, Michael Savage offered Newt Gingrich $1 million to get out of the race.
I saw that headline.
And so Steve Dace has offered Michael Savage something he doesn't have.
Oh, really?
Influence in the Iowa caucuses.
Oh.
If he will merely tell the truth that Mitt Romney instituted homosexual marriage and tax-funded abortion on demand.
Oh, now, Steve offered this to Savage?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. We'll see if Savage takes him up on it.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Because Steve is one of the most influential media voices in Iowa.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah. His show is now syndicated.
Yeah. Has he endorsed Michelle Bachmann?
Well, no, but she's very pro-personhood.
Well,
yeah. Apparently,
well,
latest news,
yeah. Well, if
which is very exciting.
If she wins the Iowa caucus, I think a lot of credit will have to go to Steve and his circle of influence.
Oh, boy. You know. But that's
a long shot, right?
Long shot.
I don't know.
Patriots winning versus Michelle Bachmann winning.
Anyway, if Newt and Mitt keep talking.
Yeah.
Rick Santorum could win. Michelle Bachmann could win.
Santorum has said he's pro-personhood now.
If those two keep opening their mouths. You know, that's why Romney's just been standing still throughout this. And he just knows that if he opens his mouth, people are going to know who he really is. So he's just trying to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
And just use the lines that are already printed. Anyway.
All right.
But I have bigger news because we're almost out of time. Apparently, according to the BBC, you've heard about these so-called homosexual penguins in Toronto Zoo. Have you heard the story?
I have.
Buddy and Pedro.
I haven't heard the latest, but I heard, the homosexuals are thrilled.
They're a cause celeb.
That these animals are confused. They love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently, they're called Buddy and Pedro. Buddy has now paired with a female and is apparently, not as homosexual as they thought. They put a female in because they want... These are rare penguins, and the zookeepers want them to multiply and be fruitful, right?
Right, like God said.
Yeah, so they put a female in, and guess what? Buddy split, and he went for the girl.
So,
and he's apparently they've struck up
quite
a relationship.
So Buddy is a backsliding homosexual penguin,
yeah.
Right? Because a bisexual is a backsliding homosexual.
Oh, that's just... So Buddy has paired with this female. They are an item now.
Which is an abomination to the homosexual
that's
community.
That's right. It's an abomination toward Out Magazine, in the eyes of Out Magazine.
Right.
But Pedro, the scorned one...
Let me guess, tried to beat Buddy to death.
Oh, no. No, he's not an actual homosexual human. Pedro has now started chasing another female penguin for several weeks now. By the way, Buddy...
Restores your faith in penguin kind.
Now, Buddy, before his reputation was besmirched, Buddy had a female partner for 10 years and produced many chicks.
See that? The homosexuals are lying again.
They made it all
Doug, there's one argument they make when they look at animals.
Yeah.
They go to the zoo and they say, look, that's proof that we're okay. Because you see what the dogs do, you see what the pigs do, and that's what we do. And this is an argument that I have a hard time rebutting, because when the homosexuals say act like dogs and pigs, that is very hard to disagree with.
It's kind of, and they're the ones who say
that's their most valid argument, that we are like dogs and pigs.
Yeah.
But God made us to be higher than that.
Yeah.
He created us in his image, in his likeness. As Jesus said, he made them male and female from the beginning of the creation.
And he told Noah to bring a male and a female penguin onto the ark.
That's right.
Amen. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Doug, thank you. Appreciate that. Now, penguins, they could have survived in the water, right? Hey, we're out of time. KGov.com. God bless you guys.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore his wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.